We are joined right now by a safety for the New York Giants. He was selected with the 108th pick overall in 2019 out of Notre Dame. He's coming off a huge season where he had 124 tackles, 6 for loss, 2 INTs, and a fumble recovery. Julian Love is my guest. Julian, good to have you on. How are you?
Well, how are you?
Good, dude. Good. It's great to visit with you. Let me ask you, the season may not have ended the way you had hoped, but I don't think too many people saw the Giants having the year you guys had when the season started. So when you look back on this past year, what kind of thoughts do you have?
Yeah, I think it's a lot of emotion for sure when you look back at this season. It was a lot of, for sure, beating expectations throughout the year. We had some big wins throughout the year. And it was a tribute to just the players just really meshing and competing with each other. To always find ways to win games.
Julian, how about the coach? How much credit does Brian Daboll deserve, and how was he able to come in and change that culture so dramatically and so quickly?
Yeah, so that was a big thing. You know, the culture is the biggest impact he had on the team. He came in from day one, and the energy in the building was great from staff, coaches, players down. And he kind of set the standard for what we had to do. And then, you know, he let players be players. He let coaches coach, and I think that's what all great coaches have to do, just let their guys shine, and we did that. And that adds pressure to players. You know, we kind of said it as captains before the season started, our good players have to play well. I mean, that's as simply as you can put it for us to be successful, and that's what happened.
Talking to Julian Love, you know, when you talk about pressure, it seems to me not everybody is built to live and work in New York, especially on the big stage. I mean, look, there's pressure no matter where you play, but especially there. Now, if you win, there might not be a better place, but if you suck, they're coming for you. Do you like that environment? Do you feed off that environment and energy yourself?
You know, I kind of walk the line. It's tough. Like you said, I've been through bad seasons, and it's the worst thing ever. People, you know, are on your head all the time. But then when you win, you know, people are excited, and there's no, like you said, no better place to win than New York. You know, all of a sudden you're getting invited to, you know, the Knicks games, Yankees games, you know, events and all that stuff. And that's why as a New York athlete, you kind of have to walk the line and stay in your role and not get too big-headed when it's high and not get too down when it's low.
That makes sense to me. Like, when you talk about how they're, like, on your head, are you talking about, like, just normal social media kind of stuff? Or are you talking about walking around town and Giants fans have no problem letting you know exactly how they feel? Or all of the above?
I would say they don't, like, say it to my face how they feel, but you'll hear, like, oh, the Giants, another year for the Giants, you know. And I'm not the most recognizable guy, I would say, so I can blend in and be like, oh, you know, they'll get it together. There'll be several instances of that. But then, yeah, social media is, you know, we live in that social media age, and so everyone feels comfortable saying anything. And, yeah, they let you have it for sure.
Hey, Julian, where do you come out on that? You know, like the Twitter mobsters, the Twitter gangsters. I mean, is this just the way it is? It is what it is. Or do you have an issue with people being willing to say something because they're protected behind their keyboard?
I mean, as much as I feel like I do have an issue with it, you know, that's just the way of the times. You got to understand that everybody has access to really contacting you, reaching out to you at their fingertips. And so, you know, as athletes, you got to be mindful when you're talking to fans. I think you see a lot of guys caught up when they're talking to fans because, like you said, they they don't know what they don't know. And so you got to kind of play that middle ground where you have to engage with, you know, your fan base and, you know, your community, but also be mindful of, you know, Twitter trolls and all that stuff.
Julian, you know what it is? They don't know. To your point, they don't know what they don't know, but I'll tell you what they do know. If they're able to hook you or somebody else, that's a win. That's a dub for them, and that's a win for their day. They win their day if they can hook you. That they do know.
Oh, without a doubt. I've gotten, I can't even tell you how many messages out. I don't fully see them. But just people just automatically, something happens in the game, reach out to me, message me, tag me in something, and like, all right, like, it is, you know, it's all reactionary and the news cycle is pretty quick, so he's got to have a strong mind.
We're talking to Julian Love of the Giants. So your quarterback, Daniel Jones, let me bring him up. He put up the best numbers of his career. The two of you came into the league at the same time. You see him every day in practice. What was the biggest difference that you saw in him this past season?
Yeah, I think he did a great job of just allowing his playmakers to make plays. You know, before he, I felt like he had to make all the plays himself, or you know, he'd have forced some things, and he'd let the game come to him this year. You know, he's a student of the game. He's always improving, always learning. And he just was, you know, I feel like one step ahead and just playing with such confidence this year. And he was able to use a lot of his game. I feel like in years past, he's been limited to kind of what he does. You know, there hasn't been that many designed runs, which really opened up our offense this year with a lot of the runs that he was designated for. And then, yeah, I think, you know, that's a tribute to Mike Kafka and letting him, you know, play Daniel Jones' game. I think it's just going to go up from here.
Julian Love is joining us. You know, it seems to me the most impressive thing about your season, at least in my opinion, is the fact that you guys were 8-4-1 in one-score games. What's that say about this team's grit, resolve, and ability to finish?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's everything right there. We realize, I know as defense, we realize, hey, we're going to have to win these close games. That's just, you know, we don't have that luxury of really, you know, putting up 40 points, blowing teams out. And so on defense, we knew games would be close. You know, with that, you know, Dave, like I said, he brought in this sense of competitiveness to the building, and we were competing in everything because he wanted to build, he always said, competitive stamina within his team. So whether that's in ping pong, whether that's in student hoops, whether that's in golf, he wants guys to be able like to find that urge to win, which, you know, talking to grown men about that in the NFL, like, oh, we all want to win. We're all super competitive. But it's just building that innate nature within you again. To do it with guys next to you, and that just carried over to, you know, finishing and competing in these games late.
I think you just said something really interesting. That, like, you know, we're all grown men here in the NFL. Like, we're all getting paychecks. We're all paid. We're grown-ass men. It may or may not work. Clearly, what he's doing is working. So let me ask you about yesterday. You stirred things up a bit when you were asked about Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni on NFL Network. I mean, let me just start right here. This is a different dude now. Like, he's practically like a Philly bro right there on the sideline. In your opinion, if you play for him, do you like that energy, or would that wear you out?
If I was on that side of things, yeah, I would like it. I mean, you know, especially, you know, the Philly fan base, they're passionate, and I feel like he carries that to the sideline. So if I was on that side, for sure, you know, I wouldn't have any opposition to it.
So who do you think sets the tone? You've played them. You know them real well. Who do you think sets the tone for that team, him or Jalen Hurts?
Oh, I mean, I think the highest you can possibly think of Jalen Hurts, you know, he really, I mean, I've seen him, you know, since he got to the league. I think it's him because he has just grown, and he's garnered my respect so much because of the true leader he is. Plus, I mean, you have, when you look at that roster, I think it's the most, you know, whether people like it or not, this year it's the most complete roster in the NFL. Offense, defense, teams, like, they have just a complete team. And it starts with him. And with his game, I think that level up was he always can throw the ball well. He always can run the ball well. He has now, his decision-making process has gone up in terms of he knows when, you know, take the loss, whatever, throw the ball away, check it down. That just is huge for them. And they manage games so well. And they put up a lot of points. I think they're one of the best offenses in the league. You know, stats or not, they can do so much.
I think what you just said, and that's not controversial. That's not polarizing at all. I think they do, top to bottom, have the best roster in the league. So that being said, how much credit does their coach deserve for them being where they are right now if they've got the best roster in the league?
Yeah, so similar to Dave's, you know, I think when you have some talent on your team, the best thing you can do is just let the players play. I feel like I've seen a lot of people, you know, coaches, you know, whether it's in college and NFL, I feel like they get in the way of their players playing the game. You know, I talk about Dave's letting our personality show through our play. Sirianni, I mean, he's letting his players' personality show as well. And you, so you see him on sideline fired up, jacked up, because, I mean, he has dogs across the ball for him. And so, yeah, I think that's the biggest credit I can give him is he's not getting in the way of his team, which, you know, has gotten into this position. They're the best team in the NFC by far. It's shown in the playoffs. And, yeah, I think they have a serious, serious shot of winning this upcoming game in the Super Bowl. And so I think, he gets a lot of that credit.
I mean, Julian, you're not – I think maybe not as aggressively or as emphatically saying what you had said yesterday, but you're not walking back which I appreciate and I respect. I mean, you're saying, in effect, that this guy's got really good players and he stays out of the way. That said, in terms of social, did Philly fans jump into your mentions yesterday?
Oh, like no other.
Tell me about it. How'd that go?
I mean, every time I play Philly, a lot of them jump into my social media and stuff like that. That's just what you expect in the game, in a division game. You know, when I play Dallas, it's the same thing and all that stuff. But, I mean, it was, you know, that little clip was shown, but right before that clip, I was giving them a lot of props for leading them to this point. And like I said, I just think he's done a great job of letting his players play. You know, when you have a roster like that, just don't mess it up for them. I'm a true believer in this being a players' league, like I said. And, yeah, I mean, that's what it is. And I have, like, a ton of respect for the Philly team. Like, some of those dudes were at my wedding. Like, some of those dudes I lived with in college. Like, offense, defense, and so I'm a big believer in them. And so, I mean, with the clip of him, you know, in the whatever they showed, you know, and looking into the camera, dancing or whatever it was, I think it's just him enjoying, really, you know, his team.
Julian, you know how this goes, right? You understand this as well as anybody. That, and I talk to my guys about this all the time. It's like whatever the platform is, you have to know your room. Like if you say something on a show and it's in context of everything else that's going on, that's very different than a clip being lifted and then pushed out on another platform. Although, you know, you said what you said and you meant what you said, but it just kind of reads differently sometimes. That's just part of the game too, right?
Without a doubt. And, you know, I definitely pride myself in kind of keeping it, you know, straightforward. And so I comment.
Yes, dude, don't change that, by the way.
Say it again?
Don't change that. Absolutely. You want to be straightforward.
You know, I mean, obviously it was taken a certain way, but, you know, they're representing the NFC in the Super Bowl. There's no taking that away from them.
Julian, here's the bigger issue, right? What did you think when you looked out your window and you saw the Empire State Building all lit up green and white in honor of them winning the NFC? How did that feel?
Oh, man. That was a dagger for sure. I mean, I understand, like, you know, being in the city of New York, there's obligations you have to have, you know, with the league and, you know, not just the league, but bigger than sports, you know, obligations in general being New York City. But, yeah, people in Philly are not lighting stuff up Giants blue ever. And so, yeah, it's kind of that situation. Like, man, that is a shot.
I hear you, dude. You're right. They're not going to light your colors up ever, ever, ever. So you tweeted a couple of days ago, get me on a golf course. Did you get out, and how are you hitting them these days?
Oh, you know, I did hop on the range a couple of times. I'm still, you know, out, you know, up in New York, and so it hasn't been the best weather to get out. But I have hopped on the course or the range. It's been good. I mean, I picked up where I left off last summer. And so now we're going to do some traveling, get some warm weather, and, you know, hopefully just dial in my game a little bit more this year.
I like it. What do you like about it? Like, I love talking to athletes that play another sport that's not their sport, but especially golf. Most guys, you know how golf is. Like, if you like it, you love it. And guys love it because they can never master it or there's a mental approach to it. Like, what do you like about the game?
I think, you know, like you said, I think it's something to master. It's something that, you know, frustrates a lot of people. I'm not somebody who gets, like, super frustrated. So I just enjoy the challenge of golf and, you know, playing against people who are better than you. You're always trying to improve, get better. And I think it's just the best game. You know, I'm big into, like, meditation and kind of just, you know, mental health and all that stuff. I think it's the best thing for me at that. I can just, you know, hit a course or hit a range and just kind of go into my own world and just, you know, flow, so to speak. And so, yeah, I think it's just, you know, it's also not taxing on my body, so I can do it all the time.
Dude, you just hit my favorite topic really quickly. So, I mean, exactly. It's great for your mental game. What do you do to work on your mental game? What's your process? What's your regimen? We can talk about nutrition. We can talk about lifting. But what do you do for your mental game?
Yeah, you know, that's the hill a lot of guys have to climb and figure out, you know, what suits them. For me, I meditate, you know, a couple times a week. You know, definitely before the game, I try to center myself. I've been doing like that since high school with visualization, and thankfully I had a good high school coach who kind of instilled that in us, that visualization process of, you know, seeing yourself making plays, seeing yourself just being carefree, being in the moment. And so it's big on that part. But then, you know, I try to just take some cleanses. When I'm not around football,
know, because it's such a stressful job and you're putting it all on the line each week. I try to clear my mind of football. You know, I dedicate it as much as I can when I'm in the building and when it's time, when I'm, you know, on the clock, so to speak. When I'm off, I try to be off completely. And I think that has helped me these past 4 years just to keep myself, you know, keep the main thing the main thing. That's kind of my process.
I like that. I like that a lot, actually. Mental health is very much an issue, and it's good to have that process. So really quickly, because you know both these teams, can you help me break it down? What do you think the Super Bowl matchup is going to hinge on, and who do you like?
Man, I think it's going to determine – I guess it's going to be on if the Chiefs' D can limit the Eagles' offense. You know, obviously the Chiefs' offense is pretty good. I think the Eagles' defense is pretty elite as well. But if the Chiefs can't stop the Eagles, I think the Eagles have this by two possessions at least, because they do such a good job of spreading the field. Everyone's a threat at any moment. People won't like me for picking the Eagles, but I'll just say the Chiefs aren't going to win, I don't think.
I can appreciate it. I think what you say makes a lot of sense. I can make an argument for either one of those teams, but I can't dispute what you just said. He's a safety for the Giants. He was selected with the 108th pick overall in 2019 out of Notre Dame. And as I mentioned, coming off a big, big year, he had 124 tackles. Joy and love making it back in. Joy, and I appreciate you. Appreciate that conversation. Man, go find yourself a golf course or get out of New York. Find some sun.
Need to.
My dude.
Thank you.
Great talking to you, man. Thank you so much, Julian. Notre Dame guys always show up like that. Notre Dame and USC guys, while they're in college and once they get out, always show up well.